Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Amen. Amen. Great. Now, before you sit down, it's great to have Pastor Steve Penny with us this morning. And Steve has planted many churches over the years and is a very well-respected, honoured, sort of international Christian leader. And has seen God do some awesome stuff. But, you know, he's in a season now where his life is really being given to raise up leaders all over the world and really invest in leaders. And, you know, we really want to honour Steve as he comes to bring the word. He's going to be with us for the next few days in the Leaders Conference. And, you know, there's a real strong prophetic anointing on his life. And I'm sure he's got a word for us, you know, as well. Not to put any pressure on you, mate. But, you know, in terms of just where we're at as a church and how God wants to speak into our life as a people this morning. So I really want us to honour Steve as he comes to bring the word this morning. So let's give him a great welcome, shall we? Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah, it'll be on. Awesome. Ah, great. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Take your seats. What a great church this is. I mean, I think you people make your pastors look good. I really do. And so it's a great privilege for me to be here. I've sort of connected with Clive and Jane over the last 5 or 6 years, different things, and just warmed to them and connected well. And so it's always been something I've wanted to do, come down and see them on their home turf and catch up with Colin. He's had an influence in my life over many years. I was just a boy. No, that's not true, but... But his writings and his ministry have had a good impact on my life over the years. That's a real privilege for me to come here today. And then this week to... boy, you're out in the country here, aren't you? It almost feels like we've gone to France. But here... What a lovely part of England to live down here. I could... you know, where I live in Australia is absolutely beautiful. It's an hour above Brisbane on the Sunshine Coast. And it's just gorgeous. And but, boy, if I ever came to England... no, that won't happen. All right, you ready for the word?
Yes.
Great. I want to share today a word that's been in my heart for this year, and I just think it'll be a blessing to you guys. The power of new beginnings. The power of new beginnings. The power of new beginnings. There's people here today that need to step into a new beginning, a new season. If you want a word for your church, the new season is not ahead of you. You've stepped into it. It's started. You're not in transition. You're not going backwards, forwards, sideways. You are moving well into a new season by God's grace. And now you need to start to possess all that's in your heart to be possessed. But I want to talk to you about new beginnings for each person here. So next slide. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning of all things was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That same word, Jesus, was in the beginning of all things with God. And so here, right, in these two verses, we see that Jesus is the God of all beginnings. Isn't that right? Amen. Jesus is the God of all beginnings. And there is nothing created, nothing ever originated except that Jesus was the beginning of it and sustainer of it. In fact, eternal life, this is important. A lot of people think our eternal life is everlasting life. Everlasting life means that we live forever. In fact, everybody lives forever, either in heaven or in hell. We're created with an everlasting spirit. So we're going to spend eternity in one of those two places forever. But eternal life is not just everlasting life. Eternal life is the quality of life that God lives in. Eternal life is God life. And eternal life is a continuum of new beginnings. It never stops being new. Eternal life. And that was God's intention with Adam and Eve, that they would continually progress from strength to strength, glory to glory, new beginnings, because they had eternal life. And this is the intention. When you receive Jesus into your life, you receive eternal life. And all things are made new. So you can be converted to Islam. You can convert to Buddha. You can convert to atheism. You can convert to a religious belief system. But you can't be a Christian without a brand new beginning. You've got to be born again. Brand new beginning. But, you know, most of us probably have experienced eternal life, a brand new born again beginning, and say, well, now I'm a Christian. And often people then forget that eternal life within you from that moment is a continuum of new beginnings. Every day, every hour, every minute, all things are being made new. It never stops. So you are being changed this morning from glory to glory. You won't go out of here the same as when you came in. That's a miracle in itself, and it's eternal life. It never stops being new. I love that. I'm not the same person as I was yesterday. I'm different because I have eternal life and I am in the continuum of brand new things. Man, how could Christianity ever be boring? It's amazing, isn't it? Even in England that happens. It boggles my mind that God is able to, you know, eternal life is new in every country. It's brilliant. Next slide. But something happened. Sin entered into this brilliant plan of creation, and sin, disobedience, allowed sin to take the preeminent role, and it brought an ending. You see, there are no endings in heaven. There are no endings in eternal life. All of a sudden, this ending. What this ending, it's a foreign thing. It brought a death to something. And so God said, well, we have a plan to overcome this. And so God, of course, sent Jesus to put an end to endings. And this is very important. Jesus came to destroy endings, give us eternal life, so that we contain the power of continual new beginnings, so that we can overcome endings. Because in this broken, sin-impaired world, there will be endings. Isn't that true? But with Christ, he has given us the power to overcome endings. Next slide. I love this scripture. Colossians 1 and verse 2. Talking about Jesus, it says, and he is the head of the body, which is the church, and he, Jesus, is the beginning. Yeah. I could worship Jesus and God just on the fact that he is the most amazing creator, originator, author of all things. It's wonderful. He deserves our worship as creatures just because of that. But the next part I love, he's not only the God of beginnings, but he's also the firstborn from the dead. He's the God of new beginnings. That changes everything about Jesus for me. I'm not just a creature saying, you're a powerful, magnificent, awesome creator, but you came down into creation to break the power of this ending, that you might not only be the God of beginnings, but you would be the God of new beginnings. I love that. It's powerful. So that in all things, both as God and creator and God recreator of our lives, he might have the preeminence. He might get the glory. Isn't that brilliant? You see, this Jesus thing is not just some little aberration or fanciful imagination of God, etc. It is an incredibly brilliant plan. He's the God of new beginnings. Jesus. When he comes into your life, all things are made brand new. You are born again. It's not an adoption of a set of philosophical beliefs. It is a recreation, a new creation. And he breaks the power of old endings and gives you a new beginning. Next slide. You see, the devil can't create anything. You know that. This is just a simple gospel truth. The devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the Bible says, John 10:10. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life. The devil's role is to bring endings into your life. He wants to bring an end to your marriage. That's his job. He's the God of endings. Who would ever choose to follow a God of endings and death and discard the God of beginnings and new things? But that's his job. He wants to end your business. He wants to bring an ending to your health. He wants to bring an ending to your marriage relationship. He wants to bring an ending to the way your kids relate to you as parents and vice versa. That's his role in life. He is the God of endings. Why be surprised when he comes? He is against the righteous. His job is to try and bring endings into this awesome work of God's grace in our lives. That's all he can do. Thank God Jesus defeated him and brought an end to endings. Simple, isn't it? It's just brilliant. Next slide. Now, there's a little reference to a little town or a city called Nain, N-A-I-N, and I think it's only mentioned in Luke chapter 7, just this once. We won't read it today, but in this whole chapter, it's an amazing insight into Jesus going to a town that seems to be under the shadow of death. Wouldn't be a nice place to live, I don't think. And it's under this impressive darkness. And while Jesus is in chapter 7, in that town called Nain, he addresses the seven forms of death that we can experience in life. Seven endings. You will experience some of these at different times in your life, perhaps. But in this chapter, Jesus addresses everyone. So as he goes into the town, as he's going in, he's met by a funeral procession coming out of the gate. So there is a young man who has died of an infirmity, and his mother, his widowed mother and friends, are in the funeral procession mourning the loss of her son. It's like the city said to Jesus, "Hey, we don't want you here. We're going to meet you head on with the highest form of death we've got, death itself, physical death. We're going to see what your credentials are, Jesus, whether you got anything on your life or not." And so, of course, death, the first physical death, is the ending of a life. Isn't that right? We'll all experience that one day. Thank God Jesus has defeated endings and death is no longer a shadow. It's a new beginning. For eternity. I love that. Death, where is your sting? What have you got to hold against me? Where, even when I die physically, I begin a new beginning for eternity. He has broken your power. I love it. So Jesus is confronted by this head on, and of course he raises the boy up. You know, come back to life. I'm going to show this city that I have the power to end all endings and defeat that and begin new beginnings. So he overcame death. The second ending or form of death that you can experience is what I call destruction, which is the end of your resource, income, flow, blessing, etc., your inheritance that God has prepared for them that love him on planet Earth. When this boy died, the mother lost her inheritance, her income provider. She would then be relegated to a very difficult position in life as a very poor widow woman. And so Jesus did an amazing thing. He raised the boy and then he took the boy and he said, "Woman, here's your son back. I give you an income stream back again." I love the fact that if you're here today, and we've just heard some brilliant testimonies, people lose their job, get another one. You may be here today, and around the world in the global financial situation, many people are struggling with difficulty, with income streams, etc. Listen to me. It doesn't have to be the end. You may have lost your job, but if you have eternal life, it can be the beginning of a new beginning, because we're recreated to live in the power of new beginnings. You hear me? That's what the Christian life is. And so this woman received her income provider back and her inheritance restored. The third form of death that you can experience in life is division or divorce. The end of a relationship, the death of a relationship. There will be people here today that sadly have had a divorce or the end, the death of a relationship. And I got some great news for you. The Christian church doesn't say that's the end. See, don't ever let this church be a church of endings. Religion is full of rules and regulations that lead to endings. You have messed up. You've stuffed your marriage up, therefore that's the end of it for you. Well, Jesus doesn't say that. He says you may have experienced a form of death, but I have come to defeat death and to put an end to endings. I am the God of new beginnings. Get up and go again. That's the message of the church. And anything less than that is not consistent, nor does it have integrity concerning eternal life. I go to churches all the time that still put the condemnation of death on people. Death is never God's first choice for us. The death of a marriage ought not to happen, but it does. The death of a person prematurely ought not to happen, but it does. The death of a business ought not to happen, but it does. The death of someone's moral purity ought not to happen, but it does. And we can either be a people that say, well, you messed up, that's the end of you. Or we can say, no, get up, go again. Christ in you, the hope of glory, will help you have a new beginning. This time, do it better. Learn from that, but do it better with God's help. That's a church that has a grace dimension on it. I love being in churches like that. I hope this is giving some of you hope today, because some of you are living under the shadow of an ending. You're still there, and it's an awful place to be. Because all of a sudden when an ending comes into your life, whether it was your fault, and it may have been, or whether it's been impressed upon you from external sources or the devil, whatever, who knows? Now, that's not the real issue. It's what you're going to do about your life now. Whether you're prepared to step forward into a new beginning and let eternal life continue to increase in you and through you to the glory that in all things he might have the preeminence. The next one. No. I'm only halfway through the last slide. He's on the ball. I said, every time I say next, he'll do it. He was waiting for the word next. You almost experienced an ending then. All right. Now we shall continue with this slide and look at the next point. The next ending that people can experience, or the next death, is disease, which is the end of wholeness. disease comes in, the end of wholeness. And all of a sudden there's a shadow of death over your life, isn't it? I've watched people, not even disease, but as they get older and lose their youth, say, ah, that's the end of it. They actually transition in life and say, that's the, that's the end of it. And they live in the shadow of an ending. I love the fact that Colin, how old would you be now, Colin? 90? No, he's, are you 70? This could be an interesting exchange right now, because Aussies don't know how to back down. Now, but Colin, yeah, I know 70, I know that. And I'm amazed when I heard that. But the truth is, no, because he's so young and I'll, no, but here's the point. Hey, just wait. And I hope I'm treading on dangerous ground, because, gee, it makes life exciting. But he lets go of here and gives it over to his son, who's still wet behind the ears. Clive, who's a great leader. And I see a lot of leaders. These guys have a touch of God, a gift of leadership on their life. Honour that and help them express all of it. But Bad Colin hands over something that's been magnificent. But he doesn't say that's the end of it. That I love. He's pumping out more stuff now, these study Bibles. That must have taken you weeks. I mean, that's a lot of work. He's had his head down for days upon days. My point is, he hasn't said it's an ending. He's still fruitful and fertile. Well, I don't know about that. But he's alive. He's doing good. I love people like that. See, and I'm labouring a point. Colin's still pumping out stuff that's blessing the nations. But some of you are just out of your teens. And it's almost like you've given up. It's not how old you are, it's how much life you've still got. And that means you've got to live in the power of new beginnings. Absolutely. Talked to a family with a teenage girl, and she'd been pack raped. And I shared this message on new beginnings. And they contacted me and said, you know, since that happened, our whole family is just gone. Hair shade, ridiculous. Nothing, you know, that's the end of it for my daughter, for us as parents. But yeah, when you preach that new beginnings message, God spoke to us and said, you can remain a prisoner under the shadow of death, or you can choose to let eternal life rise up and step into the power of a new beginning. You see, God will never come and deliver you while you're still in that state of an ending. When you step from it, say, well, this is a new beginning for me. The power of his grace comes on you to gird you up to start to walk into a whole new season of grace and favor in whatever area it is. So disease is the end of wholeness. And God delivered this young man of disease. When he'd finished, when Jesus had finished ministering to this family, this young man, mother, etc., and raised them up, given them back, restored relationship, the next thing that happened, discouragement, John the Baptist, who had pointed at Jesus and said, this is the Messiah, baptized him in Jordan, is now in jail down the road, and he sends some of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you really the Messiah? He's become discouraged in jail, lost a little bit of his vision about the Messiah. And Jesus says, go and tell John the miracles and the things you see. I'm the one. And he puts an end to the ending of discouragement. very sad when you find someone that something's happened in their life and they've lost their vision, their purpose, their joy of forward momentum. And they're living in the shadow of an ending, a death called discouragement. Some of you here might struggle with that. I want today for you to experience a miracle. Absolutely, a miracle. Discouragement is an incredible shadow over people's lives. But it's broken because of Jesus in us. The moment you step out and say, I'm going to go forward by His grace into all that He has for me. The next instance in this town, and there are seven forms of death that can affect us, they bring this immoral woman to Jesus. See what He'll do. And so the next ending that can happen in a person's life is defilement, end of purity. There may well be people here that did dumb things and allowed yourself to be defiled by things that are not God-pleasing and are immoral. Whatever society says, the Bible gives us the record of what's acceptable to God. And so you may have stuffed up and messed up in that area. And it may be that deep down you're still under the ending impress, the shadow of that, and it's affecting your marriage years later. It's affecting your relationship with people. You need to say, God, I want to break free from that and step out of that shadow, that ending, into the power of a new beginning. It's amazing the miracle that happens in a person's life. The moment you choose with Christ to step into the power of eternal life. And so, defilement. And then, of course, the other thing on that woman was disgrace, the loss of honor. It's an awful thing when your name becomes mud. Some people never get over it. When you lose that sense of, and you may have messed up, or you may have. I had a business guy that stepped out, was in business, and then he went bankrupt. Was trying his hardest and giving everything to be successful, and he was a good contributor to the church, but he went bankrupt. I was amazed how many people in the church put his name in the mud. Oh man, I said to him, listen to me. Your reputation may be mud, but your standing in God is more important. Listen, stay in the church. I'll walk with you. I want you to sit down the front with me so people see me sitting next to a person that's nothing. And we'll just tell them to go and have a cup of tea. Is that a term you use here, go and have a cup of tea? It's one we use in Australia. But I wanted him to understand, listen, there's no shadow of death. There's no ending that can hold you down if you will step forward and walk the journey into newness of life. Next slide. some more stuff. Endings bring pain into our lives. It's just the way life is. Endings, the devil brings pain. There's three kinds of pain that we experience. The first one is physical pain, suffering from the introduction of an ending. In 2003, on September the 4th, 2003, that's 7 years ago, our eldest son Andrew died of cancer. And it was a very difficult time for us. We're in a Pentecostal church, and I've been around for a while, and we just believed, God was going to heal him and get on with life. When a couple of years after we were married, before we had kids, my wife got breast cancer. And so she had to go into hospital and they did all the stuff. And God miraculously healed her and the doctors were amazed. No trace of it. Gone. And so this was just another one of those incidents. And so the church and us, and we did all the stuff and prayed and fasted, rebuke, praise, thank, all the stuff we do as Christians to see the miracle. But it didn't happen. And that's a whole nother story. I don't ask God why not, why me, whatever else. God's taught us so much through that. But when he got sick, the introduction of an ending hit us and the pain of suffering started. Yeah, it was awful. Just an awful time. Then he died on September the 4th. And then the next kind of pain began to express itself deeply within us, emotional pain. That's sorrow from the impact of an ending. Now it's having a strong impact on us. I want to tell you, we bawled our eyes out. It was very sad, very difficult to lose your son before you go. Shouldn't happen. And so we cried a lot, and there's nothing wrong with that, to express your sorrow and get it out, etc. And etc. But then the third kind of pain that you can experience is mourning, which comes from the implication of what's happened in that ending. For example, when my son got sick, we were very sad. He died emotionally. We bawled and we were sorrowful from the impact of that. But the implication of my son dying meant that I couldn't play golf with him. He loved golf. I love golf. And we're both very competitive. And so we used to play golf a lot together. When he died, I was sorry he died. But then I realized that the pain of mourning, I'll never play golf with him again. And I began to mourn that. And for 2 years after my son died, I couldn't play golf. Tried once and I'd go to hit and I'd see him there. And he used to get mad. He's like his mother. He used to get mad. He used to get mad and throw his clubs. I don't know where he learnt that from. And I had to deal with that often. And so, you know, and one time he threw it into a lake and I made him strip off and go in the lake and get the club. We're not moving and all this stuff. So when I'm out playing after he died, I'd look up and see a lake and it's almost like he was there. So for 2 years I couldn't play golf, and God spoke to me and said, you are living in the shadow of an ending. You'll never be free until you step into the power of a new beginning. And I said, God, I'm not sure I want to. You know, I'm happy to give up golf. And God said, no, you must go and play golf. I tell my wife, I've had a word from God. I think the other word he gave you must get a Porsche. You'll be free forever. No, but God said, no, it's part of your life. And so the moment I stepped out of the shadow and said, God, Christ in me, the hope of glory, I'm going to live in the power of a new beginning. So I began to play golf again. I began to get better at it. Now it's a part of my life. I love it. I'm probably going to play golf this week over here if the weather's okay and the ground's not too boggy. Here's the deal. Endings come to all of us in our lives. And there'll be people all over this place today that have experienced an ending of some form. This is talking to your heart right now, the Holy Spirit is. You really haven't let go of that. You haven't stepped out of that ending into the power of a new beginning. And that's the life that Jesus died to give you. He's the God of new beginnings. Live in that hope of glory. And sorrow and mourning are to flee away, the Bible says. And I've found the moment I stepped out of that and said, God, you're right. I'm going to get on and live life to the full. Sorrow and mourning, it's literally like from that moment on it lifted off. I've been to people's homes where they still have a kid's bedroom locked up just as it was the day the kid died. Now, I don't want to step on toes, but I will. What the heck are you polishing a shrine to an ending? Don't we live in the power of new beginnings? This is very important because this makes the Christian life the most amazing life ever. The power of new beginnings every day. You see, today I can mess up, but I have the power of new beginnings. I start again. And if I make a mistake tomorrow, I live in the power of new beginnings, eternal life. That's why God doesn't deal with you after your failures and endings. He deals with you after the promises he's given of new beginnings. He declares you righteous in Christ. So he's seeing you after the completion of the journey. But we live in the shadow of where we're up to. He deals with us after the fulfillment of everything he's promised. The continuum of new beginnings. Let's have a look at another slide. Jesus destroyed the power of endings so that we can have this incredible life of new beginnings. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He gave up his spirit to his Father and said, "It's done. The work is done. It's finished. There'll never be another ending that can hold a person down. It's done." Revelation, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I'm the beginning of all beginnings and I'm the end of all endings. I have superseded, overcome, finished." I love this. There's not one ending that can come into your life that Jesus hasn't conquered. He's put an end to it. Any one of those seven forms of death, he's put an end to it. Don't you love that? Some of you, your marriage is going to change from today. Well, that's a good word, isn't it? Hope for us. Some of you are going to step out of a shadowy life where you've let endings just hold you in a state of nothingness. You'll start to go forward in the power of the Holy Ghost. Live in eternal life. One more slide. We'll see what it says. Let's finish with this one. This is an interesting little slide, scripture. Numbers 33 verse 2 says this. Now Moses wrote down the starting points, the beginnings of the journeys of God's people at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points. Now, God delivers his people out of Egypt, the bondage and the shadow of death and darkness and sin. He delivers them out of that and says, now go through the wilderness to the promised land. It'll take you a couple of weeks or so, but I want you on the journey. I don't want you at the end of the day to fill in your diary and say, we made good progress today, got to Beersheba or wherever else, or Elam or any of the other places, wherever they were journeying. Don't do that, God said. Here's what I want you to do. When you begin your journeys through the wilderness, I want you to write down at the beginning of the journey a record of what you're going to achieve that day. This is interesting. In other words, live by faith. Too many of us are writing our journals at night. Right. I had an average day today, met Mrs. So-and-so, bought a coffee and spent too much money, have put on weight. Yeah, well, thank God I'm still here. At the end of the day. But God said, listen, if you want to live in the power of new beginnings, get into the habit of getting up in the morning and writing down, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going out today to lead a soul to Jesus. I'm going to make some money in business. My wife's going to love me more today and she's going to lose some more weight and it's going to be a great day. All by faith. You can tell my wife's not here with me on this trip. Silly people, send her the tapes. Did you get this point? This brings it all into focus. Too many people are writing their conclusions. Oh, I'm having a tough time, lost my job, whatever. Instead of getting up day after day and saying, God has a new job for me. Yes. Not lost my job yesterday. No, God is opening a new way for me where there is no way. That's living by faith. The power of eternal life within you. Going from strength to strength. Glory to glory. The best is yet to come. God has a plan for you that if you understood and knew it all, it would make your ears tingle. But it means you've got to turn away from endings, whatever they may be. Have I got a minute? With the death of my son, that wasn't supposed to happen. I've served God all my life and, been in the ministry. My dad was an AOG preacher all my life. So for me, God made a mistake. You just don't do that to your good boys. You know, I don't know what he was thinking on the day, whatever. But my son died and God spoke to me and said, if you can see this as a new beginning, it may be a sad day, but it doesn't have to be a bad day. Did you get that? Yeah. It may be a sad day, but it's not a bad day. Because all things work together for good. How can something working together for good be bad? And God said, it's a sad day, but it's not a bad day. And if you will see the death of your son and sow him into my purposes, he said, I'll give you 1,000 sons around the world. And he gave me a scripture in Song of Solomon 4 verse 4. I'll share it with you. Song of Solomon 4 verse 4, that's where S4, my leadership conference, has come from. And it says, your neck should be like the Tower of David, a strong armory upon which hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of mighty men. What an incredible scripture. And God said, if you can step out of this ending into the power of a new beginning, I'll give you 1,000 sons all over the world in ministry, sons and daughters, changing the world for good and for God. What a great new beginning that is. I want you to stand up with me. Some of you here today are going to be transformed by the power of God's grace because you're going to make a choice. Step into the power of a new beginning. I love what's happening in this church. This is a good message for this church. The power of a new beginning. Stepping into the power, new seasons and new beginings. Seasons end, new seasons begin. And I thank God that there is in this place today the seed of greatness. I don't say that lightly. The seed of greatness. That means there are great and wonderful things that God is going to achieve through this company of people. It's on the leadership, but that means it flows down from the head right down the whole body. That seed of greatness, that anointing will flow down on many of you. You'll do things that you never imagined possible. While they were praying for, what's his name, Joe or Joel? Joe. Is that Joseph? Just Joe. Why don't you give him a full name? Just Joe. While they were praying and while Colin was praying, God spoke to me. Where is Joe still here? Has he gone home for coffee? Are you still here? Musicians do that. They disappear into the green room. God spoke to me, Joe, and said this, that there's a story in the Bible where Elisha's sick and he says to the king, open the east window and shoot the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And you guys are being sent on a mission. And God's going to make you like an arrow of deliverance. In fact, your best accomplishments won't be with drumsticks in your hand. That's the vehicle that's taking you somewhere, but that won't be the end of it. God's going to raise you up to do more than that. And you'll be like an arrow shot forth. You don't even know where you're going to land, but it's in enemy territory. And the thing the Lord said, you've got to keep yourself sharp. Yeah. There's nothing worse than an arrow shot that's dull and blunt. It goes where it should, but it achieves nothing. If you stay sharp in the things of God and of the Holy Ghost, you're going to land and there'll be great impact. You'll be amazed. Yes. Your parents will be amazed. Both sets of parents. You'll be amazed at what God wants to do in your lives as an arrow of the Lord's deliverance shot forth. Yeah. Now, if God's spoken to you today, and it could be about any situation, but it's become an ending to you. That shadow is over your life and it is impairing you. It's impeding your progress and your future, and you need to, in Jesus' name, step out of that into eternal life, the power of a new beginning. I want to pray for you for a miracle to happen in your life today. And so if that's you, I want you to raise your hand all over this place. Lift it up. Hold it up while we pray. Raise your right hand to the God of heaven and earth. God, we thank you today in Jesus' name that Jesus put an end to endings. There is no shadow, there's no death, there's no ending that can hold us in prison, because you have broken open the prison doors and said, I have come that you might have life, eternal life, and there are no endings. Loose people today, Holy Ghost, from every shadow, let light shine, let power come and set people free today in the name of Jesus, all over this place. A brand new beginning in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be free today in this place. And everybody said, I want to do one more thing. Now, this is very important. I love doing this. I want to give people today an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. He is the Son of God. You've just heard how amazing it is to say yes to Jesus and allow him to come into your life. And you don't need me or anyone else to tell you whether you're right with God today, because the Holy Spirit has been working even before you came in here in your life today. While we've been worshiping, while I've been preaching, the Holy Spirit's been talking to you about your relationship with God. So you know, because he convicts and convinces us of our condition with God. You know whether you need to say yes to Jesus. And it may be that you're here today, first time or a few times or with a friend, and you've never said yes to Jesus before. Well, this is your day for a miracle. As simple as that. Say yes to Jesus. You are God's Son. You came to die for my sin. Your blood breaks the power of sin and forgives me and cleanses me. And you come and live within me and give me eternal life. Maybe you need to do that for the first time. Or maybe you need to come back to God. And today, while I've been preaching, we've been worshiping, you just know you need to get restored into right relationship. Say yes to Jesus. Why would you let sin spoil a good life? Break the power of that. Be restored into the love of God. I want to pray for you right where you stand, all over this place. Every person that right now needs, by the Holy Spirit's prompting, you need to say yes to Jesus. Let every person bow their heads for a moment. And I want to pray for you where you stand to get right with God. I want you to lift your hand. Steve, that's me. Pray for me today. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you over here. God bless you over there. There, 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 there. Up the back there. Over there, two more over there. Come on, lift your hand if you haven't raised it yet so I can see it. Yeah, in the middle here. God bless you. Once I see it, you can put it down. There, put it down, put it down, put it down. Over here, you can put it down. I've seen it. Up the back, you can put it down over there. Someone else. You got to say yes. Yeah, God bless you, man. I can see you. That's brilliant. Yeah, in the middle here. God bless you, man. Well, amazing thing, I get a lot of men saying yes to Jesus because they love the gospel being preached to them in real terms. And I just love it when men are honest and say yes. Someone else, let me see your hand. You haven't lifted it yet, put it up and say yes to Jesus. A miracle today. Oh, this is amazing. Yeah, there down here and there as well. God bless you. Over here, yeah, God bless you there. That's brilliant, man. God bless you. Get right with God. Someone else. You haven't raised your hand. I just want to give people a moment. This is important to me. This is so important that people walk it. Yeah, God bless you. I love that. Did you, husband, help her put it up? Or boyfriend or friend or uncle or I don't know, but you look like you helped. I think that's brilliant. Someone else. Yeah, God bless you. I love you. God bless you. God bless you. That's brilliant. You see, the love of God is all over this place. People are just sensing the love of God. He loves broken people and wants to restore you and put an end to endings. He loves to make you whole. Someone else. Someone else. Hey, man, that's brilliant. Thanks. Put your hand down. Just one more. Yeah, God bless you, man. Did you scratch your head or put your hand up? Someone else. Why am I doing this? Because all the other stuff leads to this. Help people find God's grace. Just one more. You haven't raised your hand, but you want to. Yeah, way up the back. Man, that's brilliant. All right, here's what we're going to do. I don't know how many people. A lot. A lot of people saying yes to Jesus. Some will be first time. Some will be being restored, getting right. I treat that as important as first time. Someone coming back and saying, God, I want to live right. Just as powerful. I want everybody here, everybody, to pray a simple prayer out loud with us. Will you do that? Help the guys that raise their hands. Listen to me, every one of you that raise your hand, when you pray this out loud, pray it as though you're telling the devil to go to hell. That's it. So that he will have no power over you from this time on. We're inviting Jesus to come into our lives. Pray this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that you love me because you sent Jesus, your Son, to die on the cross for my sin. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Wash me with your blood and break the power of sin and of the devil over my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. So that I can live in the power of eternal life from this day on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great hand. Yo! Oh, I love that. Thanks, Clyde. Thank you. God bless you.
Brilliant. Now, those of you that have raised your hand, especially if this is the first time you're saying yes to Jesus, then I'm sure you've probably come with somebody. We would love to chat with you. We want to talk, just meet you, chat with you, just pray together with you afterwards. And we've got a number of people in the church here who would, if you come down the front over to this side, we would love to just greet you, spend a bit of time with you, chat with you. So if you come with a friend, get them to bring you down here so we can just spend a bit of time with you after the meeting's finished. Because we just want to really seal in your life what God has been doing in you over the last, well, since you've been here this morning, even maybe before you got here, what he's been doing. You know, because really from this day onwards, your life is going to be different. And in a great way, because of what the Word of God says, that you're going to start, or you stepped into, anyway, a new beginning in your life. And we want to make sure with you and really help you that that step is a definite step and you really leave everything that has an end to it behind this morning. So you've made a decision to say, yes, I want to step into that, and we want to help you really get right through that so that everything that says ending in your life really has got an ending this morning. Is that okay? So it's really important, that one. That was a great word. Now, you as a believer, we as believers have authority in our lives to live in that new beginning and not to allow anything of an old thing or something that has ended to try and creep up. It's interesting, last week's word that we had, you know, about that huge big coffin on the stage, all the enemy's got is he just tries to keep opening what is dead, what is buried, and he just sits trying to mock, you're not dead to that, you're not dead to this, you're not dead to the other, you're still alive to all of that. And the great thing is that we can say to the devil this morning, actually, you're right, I can't do any of this in my own effort. So you've just reminded me of the truth of what God has done. I'm dead to all of that. It's gone, finished. So I'm going to live in the new life that God has given me. And, you know, also, I believe it's, you know, it's another encouragement for us as a church that where we're going, that we are in the beginnings of new days with what God is doing amongst us, in us and through us. And that this year, 2010, really represents for us the giving birth of, if you like, new beginnings. This whole year is us as a people giving birth to the seeds of what God has put in us for this new season, new generation of time. That in every generation of time, you got to give birth to what God is doing for that season or that generation of time. And I know normally in the natural you're pregnant for 9 months and then you have, well, we're kind of, this whole year is giving birth. None of us want to go through that. In the natural, you can't give birth to a baby taking 12 months, but we are giving birth to God's purposes for a generation all through this year. That is what is happening. And as part of that then is, if it's totally new what God is giving birth to, there is nothing of the old or nothing that has been that the enemy wants to try and tag onto our lives or whatever we looked at this morning. None of that is a part of our future. I love what was said about, you know, you get up and you write what's going to be happening. Because that's what happens. When you get up in the morning, spend time with God, what does he do? He tells you everything that's going to be happening. Because once yesterday's gone, God's like, well, that's finished with his history. You can't live that again. So this is a new day. So this is where I'm taking you today. This is what's happening today. This is where I'm leading you today. What a great way to start the day. Rather than listening to Radio 1 when you get up or something else when you get up, it's like, let's get up and listen to the Holy Spirit speaking about a new day and what he's going to do through our lives. Amen? I think we should give Steve a great thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.